Hey, Mel, Bri here. Gotta work from home today because the whole family caught a nasty.
Daddy!
Hey, Mikey! If you're gonna puke, find the popcorn bowl!
But my availability is 110%. Coincidentally, so is my fever. Kidding. Mel, I'm so cold but hot. But I'm gonna get you that budget. Just as soon as...
Mikey! Popcorn bowl!
Press 1 to use Instacart and get your family's sick day essentials delivered in as fast as 30 minutes. Press 2 to keep working. Do not press 2. Just use Instacart, Brian.
Celebrate and save at Ashley's Anniversary Sale. With Hot Buys, your choice of colors starting at just $3.99. Ashley Sleep Mattresses starting at $2.50. Plus, receive a free adjustable base with select mattress purchases. And shop top mattress brands like Stearns & Foster, Tempur-Pedic, Purple, and Beautyrest Black with 60-month special financing only at Ashley. Subject to credit approval, no minimum purchase required. Minimum monthly payment, down payment, tax, and delivery may be required. See store for details.
Old Man Winter here. If I had it my way, it would stay winter all year long. Short days, wind chill, black ice, and a good polar vortex. Oh, heaven! Wait, is it getting warm in here?
Your cold snap is over, Old Man Winter. Spring has arrived.
Spring.
Spring is here, which means it's the perfect time to get away in the Hyundai you've always wanted. Visit the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, where you can get great deals on all of our award-winning Hyundai models, like the tech-filled Tucson and Kona, as well as the spacious Palisade. Enjoy wherever you go with the peace of mind that comes with America's best warranty and 3 years or 36,000 miles of complimentary maintenance. But hurry in. These deals won't last. Add more joy to your journey at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Now get 0% APR or up to $1,500 bonus cash on the Hyundai Tucson. Now, during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Offers end soon. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Monday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all the great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, the free Odyssey app, and of course streaming live on YouTube, youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4CBS, number to jump on in, 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Got Stuart Kovacs, Moist Mike, rocking and rolling with me all the way up until 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific today. Coming up an hour 20 from now, his team is off to the Final Four for the first time since 2005, the Sweet 16, I should say. Brad Underwood, the head coach of the Fighting Illini, going to stop by at 4:20 p.m. Eastern. And then at 5:20 p.m. Eastern time today, 2:20 p.m. Pacific, Stephen Ashworth, the Creighton guard who led Creighton in that epic comeback, double overtime victory up against Oregon, was their leading scorer. He's going to join us. All righty. Let me start with this right out of the gate. We'll do a ton of NCAA tournament today. Whenever Shohei Ohtani does speak, he's going to address reporters but not take questions. So there's a whole lot cooking in. We have the NFL owners' meetings underway, so there's a lot of audio that is funneling out from that. But let's start with the tourney from the weekend. When we went into Friday, by far and away, the biggest loser was Kentucky. Now, when you look at it from being from when we got off on Friday to when we return here on Monday, I would say there's one more team that gets thrown into the biggest loser category from the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament, and that's Auburn. Kentucky and Auburn are the two teams, both coming from the SEC, that I'm thoroughly disappointed in. And both of them share a few similarities in how they lost. You know, in these NCAA tournament games, when you're going up against Oakland, when you're going up against Yale, and you give that team a little life, the building where, sure, there's going to be Kentucky fans because of the brand. Sure, there's going to be Auburn fans because of the brand. But a lot of times in these neutral site locations, there's a lot of people that enter the building that don't have a dog in the fight. And when you get to a situation where the game is close, or Cinderella's either in control or in striking distance, and there's about 10 minutes left in the game, that building turns on Big Bad Kentucky, and that building turns on Big Bad Auburn. The Auburn performance, though, and how it was similar to the Kentucky performance, and I'm still mystified by this, days after the fact is how many opportunities both those schools were able to get to survive in advance. Like, Kentucky and Auburn both played a pedestrian style of basketball. They were both underwhelming in the first 35 minutes of the game. But with all the mistakes that they made, in the final 5 minutes, they still had an opportunity to survive and advance. And they weren't able to do so. And it'd be one thing if Oakland or Yale hit a big shot right at the buzzer and you lose. But how many missed layups did Auburn have? How many missed layups did Kentucky have? And how many errant passes were there? I hate to just say that those two teams weren't mentally tough enough, but watching it in a big moment, both of those teams could not rise to the occasion. And we've seen tournament teams not play their best, and they still find a way in the final few minutes to put the game away. And it would have been one thing if Auburn or Kentucky were just ran off the court, and with 5 minutes to go, the game was out of reach, and it was too little, too late to make a comeback. But both of those games, the game was in the balance. It was up in the air in the final few minutes. And Oakland and also Yale, with as great as they played, I'm not taking anything away from those two schools, but as great as they played, they still allowed Auburn and Kentucky, the Tigers and the Wildcats, countless amount of opportunities to either go tie the game or take control of the game. And it's one thing with Kentucky, with two of your youngsters that are projected to go in the top 10 of the draft, top 5 of the draft, and their lack of NCAA tournament experience, just projectile vomiting on the big stage. And you had a Kentucky player dribble the ball off his foot. You get stuffed at the rim on a dunk. You throw the ball out of bounds 9,000 times. But then on the other hand, Auburn basically saw what Kentucky did on Thursday evening, and then they replicated it on Friday evening. And it's wild because Auburn just went through the gauntlet of the SEC where they had such a great moment of euphoria winning a SEC tournament championship, the second SEC tournament championship under Coach Bruce Pearl, and then they couldn't get up for the moment against Yale. And nothing against Yale. Their coach has been around for a long time. But when you look at the talent Kentucky has, when you look at the talent that Auburn has, and you compare it to the lack of talent that Oakland and that Yale has, these games shouldn't have been close. But when you allow a game to be close and you kind of walk through the court and walk through the park and you don't have that fight, you don't have that hunger, and then in a snap of a finger, you try to go get the game back, it was like those two teams weren't even on the court for the first 35 minutes. And that's the crazy part to me of this one. Because you play Kentucky-Oakland, you play Auburn-Yale 10 times, maybe Oakland and Yale win one. And that was the one that happened in the NCAA tournament. But even with how well those two teams were playing, they allowed Auburn and Kentucky opportunities to still go win the game. And anytime they handed them the basketball and said, all right, end Cinderella, midnight's about to happen, neither the Tigers or the Wildcats could rise to the occasion. So through the first two rounds, through the round of 64 and then the round of 32, I'm thoroughly disappointed in the Wildcats and the Tigers. I am. And you would think I'd be more disappointed in Kentucky because I had them going to the championship game, but I'm actually more disappointed in Auburn because it followed the upset of Kentucky. And it'd be one thing if one school is in the ACC and the other was in the Big East. In a conference you play in, you saw the school the night before in Kentucky that has a boatload of talent get stunned by Oakland and make mistake after mistake after mistake. And I don't care that Auburn's playing in Spokane, Washington. They should have been better than a 4 seed. right? You can make that case. They should have got better travel arrangements. They should have got closer to their campus, and they should have got better than a four seed. But I don't want to hear any of that stuff being used as excuses today. I don't. Because you saw what another school did in the SEC or what they didn't do. And then you go back out the next night and you allow Yale, who wasn't even the best team in the Ivy League this year because it was Princeton, and then Princeton lost and they got upset in the first round of the Ivy League tournament, and it's a one-bid conference. And you basically did what Kentucky did 24 hours later, or less than 24 hours later, where you made the same mistakes and you couldn't do the simple things like pass the basketball, have good shot selection, and, I don't know, make your layups. So the two biggest losers from this weekend, by far and away, Kentucky and Auburn. Now, as far as the biggest winners, it's two conferences. It's the Big East and it's the ACC. The Big East got screwed this year. I know that there were many bids that were stolen, and we saw a crazy Friday, Saturday leading into Selection Sunday that took away like five or six bids. And you went from maybe the three Big East schools that were on the outside looking in, looking like maybe all three of them would get in, to then the thought that one would get in, and then the reality was none of them got in. When you see Providence get shown the door, you saw Seton Hall get shown the door, and St. John's get shown the door as well. So I'm not saying these Big East schools that are in the tourney are motivated for redemption for the other Big East schools. Because you have UConn, who's the number one overall seed. And if anyone keeps it within 10 points of UConn in this tournament, I would be surprised. Because that's how dominant and how much better UConn is from a championship team a year ago to where they are now in 2024. But I felt very good for Creighton, who should have lost to Oregon. You know, the big fella for Oregon makes a free throw at the end. We're not even talking about Creighton today. We're talking about them going home early. But you gave that team a second life, and eventually in overtime and then the double OT, they were able to pull away when you had Kalkbrenner make a big three-point shot, and Stephen Ashworth, who's going to join us later in the show, he made a big three-point shot as well. But that Creighton team was on the cusp of making the Final Four a year ago, and they lost by one to San Diego State. So if they would have bowed out now in the round of 32, we all would have been crushing them today. But it was good to see them survive and advance, something Kentucky couldn't do and something Auburn couldn't do. And then I also felt elated for Shaka Smart as well, as they were the better team, and then that game got tight late, but they were still able to find a way to prevail. And now Marquette, which has disappointed in the past, is now going to the second weekend of the NCAA tournament. So I thought it was cool from a Big East perspective when that was the conference that got snubbed, because you have the number one overall seed, then you have a two seed in Marquette, you have a three seed in Creighton, and then no one else from the conference got in. So I'm all for this Big East statement, and quite frankly, I would love to see a Final Four that features three out of the four teams being Big East schools. Because it's very easy to root for UConn, Creighton, and then also Marquette. But when we also look at other winners from this weekend, and I started off by saying it's the Big East and then it's also the ACC. The ACC is 8-1 in this NCAA tournament. And the only loss was a team that should have never been allowed into the tournament, into the Field of 68, when you had that embarrassing Virginia team led by Tony Bennett that was only able to put up 14 points at half, and they lost in the play-in round. But outside of that, in what is supposed to be a down year for the ACC, and people aren't as high on the ACC as in years past, if you take Virginia out of it, the ACC is 8-0, where you have Clemson pulling off the upset of Baylor, and they almost choked it yesterday, but they pulled off the upset. UNC is a number one seed. Duke just smothered James Madison yesterday in Brooklyn. And then you have this great story of NC State, where their coach, Coach Keats, who joined us last week, he was probably on the verge of getting fired. Or he was really on the hot seat. And they enter the tournament, the ACC tournament, 17-14. They're on a losing streak. They win five games in 5 days. And then they win their first two games of the NCAA tournament. He gets a two-year added on to his contract, 2-year extension from winning the ACC tournament, and now they're 40 minutes away from going to an Elite Eight. The ACC, outside of Virginia, but I don't even count the round of 68 and those playing games as being in the tournament. It starts for me on that Thursday when it's the first 64 that do get in. But Clemson, UNC, NC State, and Duke all advancing to the Sweet 16 is very impressive. And UNC and Duke, it was expected. Anything short would have been a massive disappointment. But to get Clemson and to get NC State there, very, very, very phenomenal showing so far from the ACC. So through the first two rounds of the tournament, my biggest losers are Kentucky and Auburn. My biggest winners are the Big East and the ACC. What say you, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. We'll take a break. When we come on back, we'll spend a few minutes talking about the women's tournament. Kim Mulkey is fighting a journalist. Caitlin Clark is frustrated, and her father wasn't happy with her antics. And one CBS Sports Radio talk show host has gone viral for a Caitlin Clark opinion. And I'm shocked, even though the opinion's wrong, that he went viral for giving this opinion. And when there's sometimes things go viral, and you're like, all right, a few million. This video or this tweet did nearly 20 million views. So we'll tell you which talk show host, I guess, got in. I don't want to say trouble. It's not like he got in any trouble. It wasn't anything that was like really that bad. But there was one talk show host here over the weekend that did make the rounds on social media. And he was getting dragged all over social media. We'll get into all that when the Zach Gelb Show returns in 5 minutes.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Celebrate and save at Ashley's Anniversary Sale. With Hot Buys, your choice of colors starting at just $3.99. Ashley Sleep Mattresses starting at $2.50. Plus, receive a free adjustable base with select mattress purchases. And shop top mattress brands like Stearns & Foster, Tempur-Pedic, Purple, and Beautyrest Black with 60-month special financing only at Ashley. Subject to credit approval, no minimum purchase required. Minimum monthly payment, down payment, tax, and delivery may be required. See store for details.
Yo, next round is about to start. You ready?
Yeah, just shopping for a car in Carvana.
For real?
Yeah, Carvana makes it super convenient to shop whenever, wherever.
For real? That's a ton of car options.
Yep, and these are all within my price range.
For really real? You can afford that?
Yeah, with Carvana. And boom, just like that, I'm getting it delivered in a couple days.
For really, really real? You just bought a car.
For real, and you just lost my turn.
Visit Carvana.com to shop for thousands of vehicles under $20,000.
All righty, this is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. So on Friday, we kind of saw what was, I would call, an appetizer tweet, where Pat Forty, and I hate when journalists do this, especially when the story has nothing to do with them, where Pat Forty said there's some story brewing with Kim Mulkey and it's coming from the Washington Post, basically like should be a doozy. And when I saw that, I said, I'm not discrediting Pat's information. I'm not discrediting what the story could be about, but I don't like when journalists or people in the media say, oh, I know something, but they give us no clue what the story is about, or they don't give us enough information. I just find it to be very unnecessary, and I find it to be people in the press just trying to drive their engagement and get clicks off other people's hard work. So I didn't think it was necessary for Pat Forty to put out that tweet and not have the article drop yet. And I thought for sure this article would have dropped over the weekend. To my knowledge, it has not. And quite frankly, we know Kim Mulkey, the head coach at LSU, used to be the head coach at Baylor, just won the national championship with the Tigers a year ago. She's not thrilled with whatever this potential story is about because it is probably a hit piece about her. Now, let me be clear. When I say hit piece, that's not me taking a side, but I'm just going to assume here, judging by the Kim Mulkey response and then also what Pat Forty tweeted, this is not going to be a positive story about Kim Mulkey. Now, just because it's not a positive story doesn't mean the content in the story is not true. But I've never have seen this much hype for an article that still hasn't dropped. Because not only did you have the Pat Forty tweet, which kind of set me off on Friday, without taking a side in this, why would you send that tweet out without giving us more information? I just think it's someone basically saying, oh, I'm at the cool kids table, I get all the information, let me do all the gossiping, and then someone else will do the dirty work. And then Kim Mulkey, she just went off before one of her NCAA tournament games, and she read a statement, and she was fiery. And I've said this before many times on the show, I think Kim Mulkey is the most intimidating coach in all of sports. Like, I had a tweet last year that if I was her grandchild, I would never want to get her upset because I would just be afraid of grandma maybe sounding off and doing some scolding behind the scenes of a grandchild. She intimidates me. And I've heard stories, you know, of the old Baylor football coaching staff that they would ask Kim Mulkey, could they use the basketball court, you know, in the off season in the summer and have a little coaches game. And Kim Mulkey would come out of her office on her balcony and she would scream at the male football coaches, if you guys don't start playing some defense, I'm going to rip all your asses off the court. So she's very intimidating. And I would not want to be on the wrong side of Kim Mulkey. But let's listen up. So this is all about the Pat Forty tweet. This is a domino effect. Like, Pat Forty sends out this tweet. There's going to be a piece coming out from the Washington Post regarding Kim Mulkey. Kim Mulkey then responds, and we still have not had the article yet. But here is Kim Mulkey calling out the reporter that I guess is writing an article that is not very positive about her.
This reporter has been working on a story about me for 2 years. After 2 years of trying to get me to sit with him for an interview, he contacts LSU on Tuesday as we were getting ready for the first round game of this tournament with more than a dozen questions, demanding a response by Thursday, right before we're scheduled to tip off. Are you kidding me? This was a ridiculous deadline that LSU and I could not possibly meet, and the reporter knew it. It was just an attempt to prevent me from commenting and an attempt to distract us from this tournament. It ain't gonna work, buddy.
When she says it ain't gonna work, buddy, man, I was really intimidated what was gonna be the next words to come out of her mouth. But here's the part that I don't get here. It's obvious that this is gonna be an article that attacks Kim Mulkey, attacks her character, something that must have happened in the past with a player or maybe an assistant coach. Like, I could only assume because I don't have the article yet. But it doesn't sound right when you go, okay, this, I think she at one point called him a sleazy reporter in the rant, that she said this reporter basically hit you up last second to get a comment. You even said it, though, a few sentences earlier, this reporter's been trying to contact you for 2 years. So if I had to just put my journalist cap on, and I'm not a journalist, but I know people that are journalists and we're in the media, so sometimes I get accused of being a journalist. I think there's a difference of being a journalist and a talk show host. I'm going to say that this was a last attempt effort before publishing the story that still has not come out, where they're trying to get Kim Mulkey to speak. But it doesn't mean that Kim Mulkey wasn't granted an ample amount of time and given an ample amount of time at some point in the last 2 years to try to clear her name or exonerate herself from whatever is going to be authored and whatever is going to be written about her. Let's hear one more from Kim Mulkey. This is Kim Mulkey on how people do not trust the media anymore.
Reporters who give a megaphone to a one-sided, embellished version of things aren't trying to tell the truth. They're trying to sell newspapers and feed the click machine. This is exactly why people don't trust journalists and the media anymore. It's these kinds of sleazy tactics and hatchet jobs that people are just tired of. I'm fed up. And I'm not going to let the Washington Post attack this university, this awesome team of young women I have, or me without a fight.
Here's my biggest question. And we don't know what the Washington Post is even writing about or what they will publish. We could only assume. Is it true? Because that's the big question. You could get in front of a podium. You could have something written about you. And you could berate the reporter. You could berate the media. And I'm not saying the media is always innocent. There are some, like any profession, some really good journalists, and there's some really good people, and then there's people that are sleazy and that they're terrible at their job. But I want to know what is actually being written about Kim Mulkey. And I've never seen a buildup for an article that it better be scandalous, it better be big, it better be explosive for me to actually care about it. Because from the Pat Forty tweet to then Kim Mulkey just popping off the other day, I have never in recent memory can recall a time that there were this many great appetizers being served for whatever the main course is going to be. And I hope this isn't like a wedding where they bring out all the appetizers and the cocktail hour is absolutely awesome, and then you sit down for the main course and you get a dry, overcooked piece of steak. This article, one way or another, it better deliver. And I could only just guess what the article is going to be about, and I could only assume. And you know what happens when you assume? You make an ass out of you and me. But it has to be something that isn't positive about Kim Mulkey. Now, is it enough where it's a jaw-dropping piece where you're like, oh my goodness gracious, she shouldn't be coaching in college athletics? And, you know, I'm not naive here. I'm not very political. But Kim Mulkey, and anytime she speaks, it gets turned into a political issue where you have people on the left and the right just because of who she is and how polarizing she is, that you have half the people defending her and half the people ripping her as well. Because of everything going back to COVID, when she kind of made a mockery of all the masks and everything and some of her other comments in the past. I try to stay away from all that stuff, but you can't in a situation like this, because a lot of the reaction is 50% of the people agreeing with her just because of her politics, and then 50% of the people just disagreeing with her before her politics. But when you do all the math here, we still don't have what this equals to with everything added up, because we still don't know what the damn article is about. And we could all use our brains and infer what the article is about, but until I read the article, I just can only guess. And that's the wild part, where from Friday up until today, there's just been a lot of hype. There's been a lot of buzz about this article, but still, the article has not been published. Staying in the women's game, in the women's tournament, Caitlin Clark. Two things from Caitlin Clark. So I was watching one of her performances from over the weekend. She was clearly frustrated. She was not thrilled with the refs, and she was doing a lot of complaining on the court. And at one point, I thought she was going to give herself a concussion when she took the basketball and slammed the basketball into her cabeza. Now, there are times, right, where you've seen like mothers or fathers not be happy with the decorum that their child is showing on a basketball court. But when you are Caitlin Clark and you are the face of the sport, to see her dad from the stands basically tell her to shut up and stop complaining It just shows you that you could be as famous and successful and changing the game and drawing more attention to the women's tournament than there's ever been before and going to new levels and new heights. But still, you're someone's daughter and your dad was fed up and just wanted you to play basketball. Now, let me be clear. I had no problem with their complaining. I have no problem with the fire. I have no problem with the passion. But it was a very humanizing moment when, how many times, like, you go back to your youth, maybe playing youth sports. Like, this isn't college, right? You know, I'm not talking about professional sports. I'm just talking about me, where dad or mom didn't like the way that you conducted yourself in the Little League field or on the youth league gridiron for football or on a basketball court. Like, I'm sure Samter, when he was like a little point guard as a kid, he probably had a mouth and he was probably popping off and he was probably berating referees. And if Mr. and Mrs. Samter screamed from the crowd, "Hey, Mike, shut your mouth," that would be one thing. But when you're Caitlin Clark and you are an idol to people, people look up to you. You are one of the more popular athletes, you are the most popular athlete in your sport, but on the planet, and how much you've done for the game. Samter, I did not have that on my bingo card, that if anyone was going to go after Caitlin Clark this weekend, it was going to be her own father basically telling her to grow up and stop the complaining. That was wild to me.
I think that her father did her such a service to make her look human and to make her look vulnerable and fallible, because without that, right, she comes off as being a superstar who's looking for maybe special treatment or that she's acting a certain way, yeah, or that she's berating the refs.
And a lot of superstars do that. How many times has LeBron complained?
100%. But I think, unfortunately, because she's the center of attention for the women's game right now, she almost has to rise above it. And I think she looked bad. She looked petulant and she looked bad.
And you
her
know what?
Dad
there's so
humanized
many,
her and it helped.
There's so many newer eyeballs that are seeing her for the first time and they hear so much about how great she is and they tune in and they basically just see her complaining for the full duration of the game. But you know what? I actually think that's signs of pressure getting to her, where she could still be the best. She could still go win the championship and no one would be surprised. But you have so many people, like Jay Williams said such an idiotic thing that he can't call her great because she hasn't won a championship when she has just changed women's basketball for so much good and she's been so transcendent to the sport. I thought it was just so stupid where you could say she's like a great scorer, but I can't call her a great player. Maybe some of that outside noise in a lesser round where the stakes aren't so high, you're just seeing little things that are starting to get to her because she knows that every step she takes or every little move she makes just gets magnified and gets talked about times a thousand. And I know that now a lot of times we say college sports are professional sports, but these are still college age athletes. And getting this attention, even though a lot of it is good, there are some things that could be very stressful on a human being. Now, here's one thing I did not expect over the weekend when it pertains to Caitlin Clark. Our very own Andrew Perloff from the Maggie and Perloff Show, many of these same CBS Sports Radio affiliates, SiriusXM Channel 158, the free Odyssey app, and of course streaming live on YouTube. I'll be a good company, man. He had a take from the Iowa game the other day. And, you know, I was down at the shore this weekend. I had a very good weekend of sports betting. I was eating well. Had my veal parm at Chef Ola's, which was absolutely phenomenal. So I was in a good mood. And a buddy of mine said, "Your boy is getting dragged on social media." So at first I was like, who's my boy that's getting dragged on social media? And I clicked the tweet and I see that Perloff responds to the video of a player on Holy Cross, like elbowing, you know, a tough left elbow to Caitlin Clark's mug. So Perloff responds, "They called this an intentional foul, two free throws and possession. A two-year-old could see this wasn't intentional." Now, I would love to have the following like Caitlin Clark has. Because there are some athletes or some people where if you say just the slightest thing negative about someone or you're criticizing something, that there is a viral reaction of defense like I've never seen before. So Perloff, which I think it's a wrong take. I do think it was an intentional foul. And I do think it was something that was properly called. Or I guess the announcers in the broadcast were agreeing with Perloff. But this tweet that Perloff put out there ended up doing 18.2 million views. Like, don't get me wrong. Even though I don't think Perloff's opinion was correct, to do that many views, even I'm laughing about it. Like, that many people care. And I love Perloff. He's a friend. That Perloff disagreed with the call, and he just gets dragged on social media. You know, social media, nothing should amaze me anymore. But I'm amazed by that one. That many people wanted to drag Perloff for a take that was not correct, but he's still entitled to have the opinion. And at the end of the day, it's an opening round intentional foul. Like, that's what we're talking about in a game. I'd understand if Iowa didn't win the game, but they ended up winning the game. I've never seen a reaction like that, Samter. And I could just see Perloff knowing him. I don't think he was trying to be polarizing. It was like innocuous. Just, oh, he's a big basketball guy. He's going to send out a tweet, give his opinion, and not think it's an intentional foul, a little against the grain. So it fits the Perloff brand. And I've never seen a reaction from everyone just popping off on social media, just dragging Andrew Perloff. So even though I disagree with Perloff, I will say, we will support Andrew Perloff. We will blindly support Andrew Perloff. And if you want to come after Perloff, you're coming after us. All right? I don't want to see Caitlin Clark at Iowa win the tournament anymore. Obviously, ooh, that was tongue-in-cheek.
Now they're coming after you.
Yeah.
It's like the Taylor Swift effect, right? Once you go after Taylor Swift, you go after her whole family. Once you go after Travis Kelce or the Chiefs,
yeah,
you're going after Taylor Swift. So now Caitlin Clark has kind of taken on that effect, maybe not to the same level, but Caitlin Clark is defendable. And so anyone who's going to rip on Caitlin Clark or say anything negative about her, they're going to get it.
You know
and
what?
I think right now you're in the crosshairs, buddy.
I'm going to be like Kim Mulkey. You sleazy people on social media going after Andrew Perloff. Just absolutely despicable. Also, I'm doing such a great defense of Perloff. I'm like commenting well after 24 hours since his tweet did go out. We let him get dragged a little bit before we try to step in and fight back here at CBS Sports Radio. All righty, we'll come on back. We'll do a little onside offside when we return. Update time first. Here is the Ackman, Rich Ackerman.
Old Man Winter here. If I had it my way, it would stay winter all year long. Short days, wind chill, black ice, and a good polar vortex. Oh, heaven! Wait, is it getting warm in here?
Your cold snap is over, Old Man Winter. Spring has arrived.
Spring.
Spring is here, which means it's the perfect time to get away in the Hyundai you've always wanted. Visit the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, where you can get great deals on all of our award-winning Hyundai models, like the tech-filled Tucson and Kona, as well as the spacious Palisade. Enjoy wherever you go with the peace of mind that comes with America's best warranty and 3 years or 36,000 miles of complimentary maintenance. But hurry in. These deals won't last. Add more joy to your journey at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Now get 0% APR or up to $1,500 bonus cash on the Hyundai Tucson. Now, during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Offers end soon. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
If you're the cooking queen in your house like I am, let me drop a kitchen hack that's been a total game changer for me. Primal Kitchen. I'm always on the go juggling a million things like work deadlines and school pickups, so finding time to eat right is tough. Primal Kitchen makes it super easy to whip up meals that check all the right boxes, like honest ingredients I trust and delicious flavor. They have everything from unsweetened ketchup to barbecue sauce, avocado oil mayo you'll want to eat by the spoonful, and dressings that double as marinades. Genius, right? If you want to make quick, simple meals you can feel good feeding yourself and your family, trust me, Primal Kitchen has you covered. You can find Primal Kitchen at Target, Walmart, or any of your local grocery stores, or you can save 20% off your entire online order with code PODCAST at checkout on primalkitchen.com.
with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
It's time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, get to ask us a question, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet your question at CBS Sports Radio, at Zach Gelb, using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later in the show. We might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. All righty. Onside, offside time. Samter, what do we got cooking today?
All right, well, for the second straight year, my former team, the Jets, have, quote, won the offseason, I guess, thanks to some big free agent moves, Tyron Smith and Mike Williams. However, and almost Shaq Barrett, which, speaking of going viral, that also kind of caught some steam that he almost went to the Jets. Now, embattled head coach Robert Saleh was talking at the owners' meetings, and he understands all of that means nothing if they don't win.
When you lose, you're a loser. I suck. Joe D sucks. We all suck. So it just, it goes with the territory. But best thing we can do is put our heads down. Like I said, we got to go to work. All the feel-good stuff for the offseason doesn't matter. We got to win football games, and when we win football games, all the narratives will change.
So onside, offside, the Jets will win 10 or more games in 2024.
I think it's right there. I think it is right there. Like, I could see them being a 10-7 football team. So since I'm, like, right in the middle, I know you said at least 10 games, so technically 10 would get them there. How many times have I seen this playbook?
Are we going win total over under 10.5? Are we going 9.5?
If you give me 10.5?
10.5.
I'm taking the under.
Going the under.
Here's why. The Jets are the Jets, and they'll always be the Jets. Whenever they have this great offseason, and the Jets are supposed to be the team to beat, I know how this ends. They don't end up living to the hype. They could finish first in the division. They also could easily finish third. I think Rodgers will have a good season. I still don't like that offensive line, even though they revamped it, because Smith is one injury away from them not having a great left tackle again. And Mike Williams, one injury away, and he gets injured a lot, for them not having a number two wide receiver again. When something could go wrong, it does go wrong for the Jets. So I'll say that they'll be a 9-8 football team this year. So you say the Jets will win 10 or more games in 2024, I'm going offside.
Offside.
But 10.5, yeah, I'm hammering that under. Hammering it.
I like how you had them finishing at worst third. We'll leave it to our imaginations as far as who would be the...
Yeah, the Patriots.
Dollar. Yeah.
They suck. I'm a Patriot fan. Like, people go, what are you going to criticize your football team? Have you not been listening? I've crushed my team for 2 years. No one is more of a realistic fan than your boy.
But we've seen with C.J. Stroud that one quarterback could change an entire franchise around, so you never know.
I don't know if this team,
I'm surprised that you're so down on your team. Now, another team...
I don't know if this team, though, right now knows their difference between their elbow and their ass.
There you go. I can show you during the break, which is what the difference is.
I said I know it. My team doesn't.
Uh-huh, sure. Now, the Steelers completely revamped their QB room, adding Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. While most are saying Wilson was promised that he'd be the week one starter, Mike Tomlin sort of left the door open.
We're not resistant to competition, but as I've mentioned several times of late, I just think it's appropriate to establish positioning as we get into this thing. And the term that I've used is Russell has pole position. And why do I use that term? Because during this time where we are not formally working, man, I just think it's beneficial.
So onside, offside, barring injury, Russell Wilson will be the starter for the Steelers the entire 2024 season.
Onsides, I think the floor for Russ in Pittsburgh is not low enough where a benching will occur. This is Russ gets the year. At the end of the year, if they really do love him, they'll ink him to a contract extension. If not, and I know that there's a fifth-year option, and that probably won't get picked up at Fields. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't, but I'm probably on the side it doesn't. They'll find a way to work a way to have Fields as the quarterback next year. Russ is getting the opportunity. I don't believe Russ will be sensational, but I don't think Russ will be bad enough. Well, they'll go to Justin Fields. So barring an injury, Russell will also be the starter the entire season. I will go on sides.
Now, the team that got rid of Russ, the Broncos, head into 2024 with Jared Stidham as their QB1, at least for now. Now, at the owners' meeting today, Sean Payton said they might be open to making a move up the draft board for a QB.
I think it's realistic. What's hard to predict, though, is, like, what's on the receiving end. I think it's good to be Monty today at Arizona, right? It's hard to predict what that cost is, and yet I certainly wouldn't say it's unrealistic. And we'll pay close attention to it.
Onside, offside, the Broncos will draft a quarterback in the first round.
I'm going to go offsides. because I think there will be more aggressive teams that are going to be looking to move up. And even if you don't have a lot of teams moving up, remember, Minnesota is in front of the Broncos, and Minnesota needs a quarterback as well. The Broncos are at 12. Minnesota's at 11. I think the quarterbacks are going to be 1, 2, and 3. They could be 1, 2, 3, 4. There will definitely be four quarterbacks in the top six because I think the Giants will take a quarterback as well. I believe the Broncos. Now, I get it. Players don't tank, but organizations do. I think the Broncos are going to be as bad as they could possibly be this year. I don't believe in this team whatsoever. I think this is a past year to set up something for the future. So you say the Broncos will draft a quarterback in the first round. I will go offside.
Offside.
They're kicking the can down the road, and maybe they're going to get Shedeur Sanders.
That honestly might be the best way to do it. If you're a 12 and you can't get the guy, don't stretch. Have a down year and then, you know, start over next year.
In the words of Rick Ross, do the Shedeur Sanders.
There you go. Now, after starting out 8-3 last year, the AFC South favorite Jaguars collapsed at the end of the season.
I don't have a watch on right now, so when I did the Shedeur Sanders, it looks like I'm telling people to bleep off or something like that.
Well, it also looks like you're showing us your friendship bracelet or whatever that is on your arm.
Oh, that's... I'll tell you what that is. I don't want to put you in a bad spot. It's actually honoring a friend of mine that passed away, so...
Oh.
Yeah. That's a little awkward. It's fine. You didn't know. It's good.
I do apologize.
Keep it moving.
Okay. Well, I will move on to that, and we will get to that another time.
It's all
time. Good. Now, they lost the division to Houston and missed the playoffs altogether. Today, Doug Peterson admitted the 2023 season will haunt him.
It's not so much that loss as much as it is the last, you know, six games when we were sitting there at 8-3 and we had everything going for us and right in front of us. I don't know if I'll ever get over it. I think for me, it's going to be my motivation, my fuel, you know, moving forward. I'm not going to let it cloud the vision, but at the same time, it's going to be close in my mind as I move forward with the team this spring.
Onside, offside, Doug Peterson will not be the Jaguars head coach in 2025.
That's offside with how quickly and deservedly so they had to get rid of Urban Meyer. And Urban wasn't liked, and he was just a total clown in that organization. I think Doug will be able to hand the media well enough, or even if it's bad, they do afford him one more year. Year one, he turns it around. Year two, they regressed. And now in year number three, you got to take a step forward and get back to what year one resembled. But I don't think it will be that bad where at the end of the year, even if they just missed the playoffs, you feel like you have to fire Doug Peterson. So you said Doug Peterson will not be the Jaguars coach in 2025. I will go offside.
Offside.
All right, that's onside, offside. On a Monday, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. There's a big theme coming out of the NFL owners meeting. And there's one name that continues, or we think, continues to shoot up the draft boards. We will tell you who that name is, and we will tell you now the latest speculation on what pick that player could go when we return in 5 minutes on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, where there is a lot of buzz about this player, and I can't believe it. And I'm a big fan of this player, too. Coming on back.
Celebrate and save at Ashley's Anniversary Sale. With Hot Buys, your choice of colors starting at just $3.99. Ashley Sleep Mattresses starting at $2.50. Plus, receive a free adjustable base with select mattress purchases. And shop top mattress brands like Stearns & Foster, Tempur-Pedic, Purple, and Beautyrest Black with 60-month special financing only at Ashley. Subject to credit approval, no minimum purchase required. Minimum monthly payment, down payment, tax, and delivery may be required. See store for details.
Old Man Winter here. If I had it my way, it would stay winter all year long. Short days, wind chill, black ice, and a good polar vortex. Oh, heaven! Wait, is it getting warm in here?
Your cold snap is over, Old Man Winter. Spring has arrived.
Spring.
Spring is here, which means it's the perfect time to get away in the Hyundai you've always wanted. Visit the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, where you can get great deals on all of our award-winning Hyundai models, like the tech-filled Tucson and Kona, as well as the spacious Palisade. Enjoy wherever you go with the peace of mind that comes with America's best warranty and 3 years or 36,000 miles of complimentary maintenance. But hurry in. These deals won't last. Add more joy to your journey at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Now get 0% APR or up to $1,500 bonus cash on the Hyundai Tucson. Now, during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Offers end soon. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
I'm at the nail salon. What? I'm at the grocery store. What? I'm at the com.
think Chanel Salon and Grocery Store.
Wait, she's at the nail salon and the grocery store?
I'm at the combination nail salon and grocery store. Groceries through Instacart, delivered to my door. I don't have to choose between acrylics and the grocery store.